Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to this preview edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. We're going to preview the free agency slate. Simon Clancy is not here. Okay, I have no idea where he is, but he is trying to make it back to his lair in London, and I don't think he's going to make it. But I do have Chris Coughlin, and we're going to run through this free agency slate by our lonesome. Any idea where you think Simon might be, Chris?
I apologize. I've been dealing with a little bit of a sinus thing, so I can't really voice Simon like I used to. Not today. So that's why you won't hear from Simon today.
Well, for you out of staters, you could go on over to PrizePicks and use the promo code FIVE. You deposit $100, you get $100. It's as simple as that. Or betteredge.com/5reasons, and you get $20 just for signing up. All right. By the way, we got to start right here. Dolphins signed Jonnu Smith. Your reaction? 2 years, $10 million. Looks like it's a pretty good deal. I nailed that one online. Somebody asked me yesterday. I was advocating for Jonnu Smith, and I said, what do you think he signs for? And I said, 2 years, $10 million.
Well, no, that's perfect. That's a perfect deal, I think, for the Dolphins. I think that, we do have to keep addressing, or at least address some misconceptions about Mike Gesicki's time in Miami in 2022. Because I think that everybody, even before Gesicki was franchise tagged, was operating under, kind of a misperception that Mike McDaniel's offense requires that the tight end be first and foremost, a great blocker. And I think that that's a little bit overly, simplistic. I think that the chances that Mike McDaniel sat down in a film room with anybody, Chris Greer, or anybody in 22 and looked at Mike Gesicki and was like, yeah, we can change him. We can make him a good blocker. I think the chances are about 0.0.
Yes.
So I think that they knew what he was before Chris Greer placed a $10 million franchise tag on him. And Chris Greer would not have guaranteed that man $10 million for 1 year of service with that franchise tag if they did not think that he could pose value for Mike McDaniel on the offense. I think that what happened is Mike Gesicki proved to be not that good in the passing game for Mike McDaniel, that he values different things from the tight ends in the passing game. And I think, a lot of run after catch, sort of the routes that they're getting, I think that require you to be able to, be a little bit more twitchy. And I think that it requires some physicality. There's a lot of Mike McDaniel has his tight ends, not just blocking, but sort of like, chip and release kind of things and various concepts that required the tight end to be physical first. And I think Mike Gesicki wasn't up for all that run after catch, especially. Mm-hmm. All he could do really is is function in the red zone. And he did. What did he catch, like 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
We did not get a single touchdown from the tight ends in 23. So that shows you what we were missing. Part of what we were missing in that year. I think Jonnu Smith is kind of a smallish tight end. He's not going to be a great blocker in the run game. But he is
willing. Like, I know people have asked me, is he like completely hopeless? No, Mike Gesicki was hopeless. He'll try. Jonnu Smith will try. He's just not very good at it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's not going to look like Durham Smythe. It's not going to look like Julian Hill. He'll try, but I think more importantly, those routes, that sort of those misdirection kind of routes where the tight end sets up like he's going to block, and then he rips the guy and releases out to something, whether it be a screen or, you know, or just running out into space. I think that sort of thing is right in Jonnu Smith's wheelhouse. And it wasn't necessarily in Mike Gesicki's. And he's a run after catch guy. He definitely is an athlete. We've talked about, I talk about Jaheim Bell of Florida State coming out of the draft a lot. Used to be at South Carolina, now he's at Florida State. Well, Jonnu Smith is the original Jaheim Bell. You know, this is exactly what he is. And the thing I told people on Twitter the other day was like watch his catch reel, you know, and highlight. I mean, you can call it a highlight if you want, but it really is just catch reel from 23 from last year with the Falcons. And if this were a college player, you would be absolutely jazzed up to draft this guy, right? Like that's except this is even better because he's doing it against NFL defenses. So that's the kind of value that the Miami Dolphins could see out of this. I think that they're going to get a little bit more two tight end work, a little bit more 12 personnel. They only do it like 8 to 10% of the time the last couple of years. And I think that that's going to change a little bit. I think it's going to get a little bit better. The run blocking might get a little worse in 12 personnel. They've been averaging a ridiculous like 7-8 yards a carry out of 12 personnel the last 2 years when one of those tight ends is not named Mike Gesicki. So I think that their cup runneth over a little bit in the run blocking from 12 personnel. So maybe, but the passing game has never been effective at all from 12 personnel. And so maybe this is an attempt to even that out a little bit, get more dangerous passing out of 12 personnel, maybe use it a little bit more than they did in the past couple of years. And yeah, maybe you sacrifice a little bit of run blocking out of that personnel package. But if it comes with greater passing efficiency and potency, then I think that's something Miami could live with. And then the other thing is just obvious pass situations. Imagine, Alf, all those obvious pass situations that we rolled out with last year, playing from behind, which we were terrible at. Playing from behind, you know, 2 minute situations, third down, defense knows a pass is coming, right? They know it. It doesn't matter who you march out there. It doesn't matter if you march a Mike Gesicki out there at tight end. You're not going to tell them that it's a pass because Mike Gesicki is out there. They know it's a pass because you're down 20 in the scoreboard, or it's the final 2 minutes of the half, or because it's third and seven. You know, they know it's a pass already. So you might as well march out there a guy who's a good weapon in the passing game. And that, I think, is Jonnu Smith. And so I think that in those 11 personnel, those one tight end type of personnel packages where we're in an obvious passing situation or a catch-up situation or the red zone or something like that, I think that that's he can make a big impact there too.
All right. And I think it's imperative that they added some speed at tight end, because you need a tight end to time up with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. It was obvious, especially in the playoff game. L'Jarius Sneed, I understand it is L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed was basically deciding. There was a couple of times where they split out Durham Smythe wide, and L'Jarius Sneed looked at Trent McDuffie, who was in the slot on Tyreek Hill. And Trent McDuffie looked over at him and said, "Are we switching?" And L'Jarius Sneed was essentially telling him, "No, I'll cover both guys. Watch." And if you watch those all 22 cuts, L'Jarius Sneed is essentially playing with one eye on Durham Smythe, saying he ain't going anywhere, and I'll just mosey on over to Tyreek Hill and I'll read the quarterback in between two guys. Why? Because he knows he can make up space on Durham Smythe, but he probably won't on Tyreek Hill. Now it's different. You got to guard this guy on the boundary, because a little bit of space and he can get by you. He's a 4'6" guy. This is really, really good news and opens up the draft a little bit more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you know, with that signing though comes the negative, or not really a negative, but like, you know, they've been looking at some tight ends in the draft. They've been looking at Jatavian Sanders, for example. Mm-hmm. I think just today, Tony Pauline said that they've been looking at Eric All, who is a very interesting, compelling pass catching threat as a tight end, but a terrible blocker. And I've been talking about Jaheim Bell and guys like that. Well, if you have Jonnu Smith, you have him at 2 years, $10 million, and you still have Durham Smythe, you still have Julian Hill, and they are going to continue developing Julian Hill.
By the way, unofficial half, like I guessed yesterday, is guaranteed.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's typical, actually. You know, very, very typical pace for a lot of these kind of signings is whatever their APY is on the contract, that amount's going to be guaranteed. So, like, you know, $5 million a year, probably $5 million will be guaranteed. Like that first year, there's a guarantee for that first year worth of compensation on the APY. So that's very common. I think, but yeah, you're looking at the draft, you're looking at guys like Jatavion Sanders or Eric All or Jaheim Bell or somebody like that. And you have to say probably not, you know. And now you also wonder if Brock Bowers were to be there at 21, I think they might run up with the card, right?
Mm-hmm. Or sell the pick for a ransom.
But now with Jonnu Smith in the fold, now you wonder exactly right. Do they sell that pick for a ransom? Do they, you know, or if Brock Bowers is within like one or two picks of them, do they really force the issue to go up and get him? That's a fair question to ask now in the wake of signing Jonnu Smith.
All right, I think we can move on. I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time on some of these positions, but we'll start here. We'll start at quarterback. First of all, yes or no, do you think that we're changing out Mike White for something cheaper or for the same money, or is Mike White returning?
I tend to think that he's returning. Okay. So, you know, I think it's just based on his contract, it's hard to get cheaper at that position, at the backup quarterback position. And there's upside there to having the same guy return for another year in your system and continue to, you know, continue to learn your system and get the timing and everything like that. There's also upside to continuing on with Skylar Thompson. And I think that if you were going to try to get cheaper than Mike White at the position, it would be because of Skylar Thompson, not because of some outside guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. On our cheat sheet, you had Easton Stick. Let me interest you on somebody else. Drew Locke's a free agent. If you could get Drew Locke for Mike White's money, you'd do that in a second, don't you?
I would not.
Oh, okay.
I would not, because I think that Drew Locke is a I don't think that he processes quickly enough for Mike McDaniel's offense. I just don't think that he's I don't think he's fit for this style of offense. I went with Easton Stick because if you can simplify things enough for him, he can be a very quick executor.
Mm-hmm.
He has very good feet, he has very good athleticism. And so I think that he has some positives for this style of offense. Ultimately, no, I don't think it's going to happen. I just, you know, I threw out some names in that quarterbacks group. The most likely of names if they were to dip in it, but ultimately I don't think they're going to dip in it.
All right. Simon likes Kyle Allen and with a firm eye on Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay.
Of course. But Jimmy, you know, even though he's been knocked down a peg or three, you know, he's still going to ask. Yeah. He's still going to ask for some money, even as a backup quarterback.
And he should
right
act.
Right now, I'm in Miami. We know Miami are pressed up against it from a budget standpoint. So I just don't think that they can afford to start eyeballing this position when they have two guys that I think they're pretty comfortable with.
Yeah, he should go to Hollywood. He should act. That's
my, who's that?
That's
just, Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah. Or just be on posters. Like, I don't know, like, how he is, like, when he actually speaks. like, but women like to look at him.
Yes. Yeah. Trust me. My wife, you know, she's a casual football fan. Like, she knows the Dolphins, but she sees him. She knows precisely who the quarterback of the Raiders was last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Moving on to running backs. I don't think we're going to look. I would explore Derrick Henry because I think you're going to get more bang for your buck if you give him 150 carries. Okay. And I'm suspicious of Raheem Mostert's 32 years on this earth.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Devon Achane, but I don't see us giving him 250 carries this year. So I think you can find 150 carries rather easily for Derrick Henry, even with Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. So I will probably do it because I don't think he's going to be all that expensive, you know? And I think you're grabbing the last 2 years of his effectiveness. So I would do it. But other than that, you know, I would look at something like, although Simon likes him too, Ronnie Rivers, but he's restricted. I think the Rams will bring him back. I think Devin Singletary would be expensive as well. I know you like Austin Eckler. I don't think he's going to be expensive. I would explore Kareem Hunt. He has friends on the team, and he was a pretty effective player when he played last year. But other than that, I'm more inclined to punt on the whole thing, unless I could get my hands on Derrick Henry. Not because, you know, we have a glaring need at the position, but I think we could find the carries for him, and I like what that says about our team if we do get somebody like Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think I would probably stay away. You know, from Derrick Henry. I think that there could be an opportunity to zig where the rest of the league zags, because obviously the rest of the league are, and the GMs are still in the midst of seriously downgrading this position in their allocation models. And so you're seeing a lot of frustration from the running backs. And this class, of course, now has big names available: Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard.
Mixon on the way, by the way.
Yeah, with Joe Mixon on the way, Tony Pollard, I just mentioned Saquon Barkley, I just mentioned Austin Eckler. You know, I think Gus Edwards is out there. I think that this is a class that has some names in it, but
add another one. Cowboys have told Tony Pollard, if you could get it, go get it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, that's what I just mentioned him. I mean, he's out there. I had him as my, you know, if the Dolphins are going to spring for a luxury, I think a luxury item, that's who I put out there. And that's because of the speed and because of his pass catching ability. But, you know, the Cowboys are right. If you can go out there and get it, go out there and get it. And I'm not sure he can go out there and get what he wants from Miami included. We've talked a lot in our previews in the past. The three of us kind of agree that we like our running back position in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Raheem Mostert's age, you know, notwithstanding, he had the best year of his career by far.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think all three of us like Chris Brooks as well.
Oh yeah. And we do. We absolutely. And we like Jeff Wilson. And, you know, I think that there's something to be said for all of those guys coming right back and leading another top rushing attack. And that's what Miami had. And this time, you know, maybe Devon Achane gets a little bit bigger, gets a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit less injury prone, who knows. There's been no indication that I'd ever get my wish with them moving him to wide receiver. So I mean, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's sort of me, you know, wondering about something in the way that fans do sometimes. But I think that position is looking good. Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane, Jeff Wilson, and Chris Brooks lead a good attack. Could we get somebody in free agency? Is there an opportunity when all of the GMs are looking at these guys and saying, nah, we're not paying you anything? And then you're staring at like an Austin Eckler who's like, man, I can't even get a bid. and I'm thinking, well, okay, maybe, but otherwise, you know, I am pretty happy with this position, so I'm not willing to spend money on it.
All right. I think we could move on. Wide receiver, man, I got a good look at some of them on, in the combine, and I've been digging deeper. I'm more likely to punt on the entire thing for free agency. I think there's a couple of guys that I think are going to be a little bit pricier than normal. Curtis Samuel is a guy I'm really, really interested in. I know Simon likes Nick Westbrook, and he wants to give Trent Sherfield a look again. I don't care about Trent Sherfield.
I don't care.
I'm kind of interested in Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like, you know, he interests me a little bit. I don't think he's going to be expensive. I know you like little Jordan Humphrey, but I do not think this is a position that Miami's going to get out there in free agency to go get.
Yeah, I think I mentioned little Jordan Humphrey. I mentioned little Jordan Humphrey because, you know, he's a guy that's still on the come, and I think that a lot of people are probably still doubting whether he presents any value at all. And so when you look at the contract, it could be a nothing contract at the end of the day. But this is a big player. He's a big receiver who plays big. On his limited opportunities, he really destroyed man coverage last year. One of the best free agents versus man coverage. Made some really big plays that way. I mean, if you look at, say, even just his highlight reel from last year with the Broncos, he made some bigger plays. And if you look a little bit deeper, he was also pretty used to being asked to do some, you know, some big wide receiver blocking. not necessarily tight end blocking, but the sort of blocking that you might ask your trusted blocking wide receivers to do. Like a Cooper Kupp or somebody like that. I think, you know, you're not going to get a shot at Juwan Jennings, who's a restricted free agent. And I know a lot of people got eyes for him, and that's okay, but he's a restricted free agent. It's not going to happen. So I think that Lil Jordan, you know, might be a nice value pick to get bigger at that position, give Tua a big slot sort of target, which Jonnu Smith already does. But it couldn't hurt to add another one who's an actual wide receiver there. And so that's my guy there. But I got to ask you, like, given Tyreek Hill, what he just said recently, which was, you know, they asked him, who would you draft for Miami? And he went for, he mistook Malik Nabers for Brian Thomas. He meant Brian Thomas, yeah. Right? He meant Brian Thomas of LSU. And he said, because he wants Brian Thomas to work that outside so that he can move into the slot and play like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Given that he said that, was he giving something away a little bit, you know, as far as the conversations that they're having during the exit interviews and, you know, what we want to get better at, what we want to do next year, that sort of thing? Do you think he gave anything away? Do you think the Dolphins are paying attention to that? Do you think the Dolphins could? Because, you know, Odell Beckham is there.
Mm-hmm. So is Darnell Mooney, and I think he's going to be a little bit pricier, but Odell Beckham.
Yeah, he's going to get paid, I think.
Odell Beckham does make a lot of sense, right?
I mean, I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering. Just because I think our tendency would be to look for a slot to replace Braxton Berrios and or Cedric Wilson, right? And it makes you wonder a little bit about that. It makes you wonder if there's somebody that makes sense that helps them move Tyreek into the slot more often. Mecole Hardman is out there, you know? So that's another consideration.
Yeah, for the back end of the roster, there's a couple of guys. You know, I wouldn't mind bringing back River Craycraft. But Scotty Miller is out there. Did you know that Scotty Miller is still only 26 years old?
It seems like he's been around for a while.
Yeah, so I would give one thing you could say about Scotty Miller. He sure finds his way 50 yards down the field behind cornerbacks, and he does it consistently. So that's something I would like on the team as far as a guy for the back end. But, man, I'm drafting a guy at 21 or 55 and feature him.
It's a good class for it.
Yeah, I think you got to get one. You got to get one at 21 or 55, or who knows? Maybe you turn 21 into several picks, and you could take one in the second round. But
we should mention Curtis Samuel because he's worth mentioning. He does a lot against man coverage. He runs a lot of those type of things that Mike McDaniel would
And we are unanimous. We are unanimous, I think, three times on our cheat sheet. And he's one of the guys we're unanimous on.
Yeah.
But I'm figuring big dollars there.
Could be. Could be. You never really know.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Tight end. I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time here, but I kind of liked Robert Tonyan. I think that's done. You like Bryson Hopkins. Simon likes Charlie Warner. I love Noah Fant. So did Simon, but I think that's done as well. Colby Parkinson, Simon liked him. Will Dissly is still interesting to me, but I don't think, you know, I think this is a, I think they bought the tight end they were going to buy and they're done. I think here.
Yeah, I think they're done. I think they bought the guy they're going to buy. He was a street free agent too. So he's, you know, there's a reason they were already able to sign him. So he's not going to count against the compensatory formulas or anything like that. Yeah, I think they're done here. I had Gerald Everett in there, and I was actually kind of between Gerald Everett and Jonnu Smith for this, you know, for the this kind of particular role. And I think, you know, I'd have been happy with either one of those two.
Yes.
And I think that they got a really good one with Jonnu. So
yeah, there's actually a pretty decent crop in my opinion of tight ends. So some teams are going to fill some holes here. I'm really interested.
The draft or the free agency?
Both, really. But even in free agency, I'm interested to see who's going to get Hunter Henry. If Hunter Henry ever decides that he's not going to be a walking injury every week, you know, he's going to help a team immensely, especially a contender. So I'm interested to see what that tight end market's going to look like for a guy like Hunter Henry, who is, in my opinion, a top five tight end still whenever he does play. All right, moving on. Offensive tackles. I think Teron Armstead's coming back again, which means we need his valet. Is it as simple as just run it back with our guy? Or are you,
elsewhere? Yeah. I think they've got a few. I really don't know. I genuinely don't know with the Teron Armstead thing. I still think anything could happen until it's announced. You know, anything could happen until it's actually announced. So, you know, with Teron, I don't want to assume anything. But if he is back, then you could certainly make this case for Keon Smith to be his, you know, his valet, as you say. You know, the guy that escorts him through the season. He played well in the preseason. He played well in the regular season. Kendall Lamb may retire himself. You know, he's nearly as old as Teron Armstead, and he's nearly as injury prone. So, he may retire. If he doesn't, then I see no reason, you know, that you can't bring him back because he played well for the Dolphins. But barring that, I think I brought up Yosh Niemann as a guy that you could see what his price tag is. I don't know what it's going to be, honestly. I could see it being anything. I could see it being only like $5-6 million a year.
We were unanimous on him, by the way.
Yeah. I think that it could be more expensive than that. I think it could be, you know, a Jonnu Smith type deal. Who knows? I would be interested in him. I think that at some point, obviously, Teron Armstead is not going to play the full year. I think you're lucky if he plays only 30% of the year. You're lucky if he makes it out of training camp without a season-ending injury. I'll just be honest. You know, you're looking at a guy that could be asked to play nearly or maybe all the full year. And is that Keon Smith? I think it could be, but that would be taking a chance. That would really be taking a chance. So, you know, you could lighten up that chance a little bit if you sign a Yosh Niemann. Mm-hmm.
That would be a really forward-thinking idea, I think.
Yeah, and therefore not likely with Miami.
Exactly.
Well, not for the offensive line anyway. I don't want to denigrate what they do elsewhere, but on the offensive line we have some issues.
You're more worried about it than they are, Chris.
Yeah, well, that's so they say.
All right, moving on to the interior offensive line. I think they need to do some work here. Although I'm a little bit more optimistic, and I'll tell you why. If they had any illusions of re-signing Robert Hunt, let's say, at $17 million a year, I think that's insane. But let's say they did. I think you could get Laken Tomlinson and John Runyon for that $17 million APY, and you're solving left guard and right guard for the immediate future.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good players in here.
I agree. And I think I put John Runyon in my list.
Yes.
And I would have easily put Laken Tomlinson in there too, because, hey, I think Laken Tomlinson is Robert Hunt 2 years into the future. You know, 2 years ago, Laken Tomlinson came from the San Francisco 49ers. He was known as one of the great guards in the business. We're thinking about, oh, will he go to Miami? He signed for a big deal. And sometimes it's not a great idea to sign players like that for a big deal who made their name in somebody else's system and not yours. And I think that's sadly what's happened here. Is he too old to play? Has he just lost it? I don't know the answer to that question yet. I would obviously pay attention to anybody who believes that they do know the answer to that question, including the Dolphins. So I'm going to let them judge that one. But right now, you know, he kind of stands out.
Yeah. And another guy I would look at, and you could give us your thoughts on him before we move on to centers. But Dolphins kind of explored Graham Glasgow last year, and he ended up with a starting job in Detroit. My guess is that they probably gave him the whole "you're competing for a starting job" spiel here. Yep. And he said, you know what? I'm going to a better offensive line in Detroit with a team with similar prospects as far as competing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go take their $3 million. Well, he's a free agent again. I think Detroit, I don't know if Detroit wants to bring him back. I know he wants to go back. He has long ties with Detroit, but there's a possibility that the Lions just tell Graham Glasgow, you know what? I think we're done here. We're going to get a young guy and we're going to train him on in your position. And he becomes available on a 1 year deal. I will be all for it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's a good player. I think, you know, I don't know what John Simpson's going to get paid, but he's a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Coleman Shelton is a pretty good player. And, you know, whether not sure what position you would have him, but he's a pretty good player. So yeah, there's some decent players here. I think Mark Glowinski is a guy that the NFL teams are gonna really look at in free agency. So yeah, there's good players here. You know, you just got to get one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I gotta mention this guy because Kyle Krabs is all over him, and a lot of our listeners like him as well. And he's played well for Seattle. Damian Lewis is also a free agent. I think he's going to be a little pricier than people think, especially seeing Ezra Klein is actually a political commentator. Why the hell do I got him in my head? I must have read something that he wrote. Ezra Cleveland. Okay. Ezra Cleveland got $9.5 million APY. If he got $9.5 million APY, what the hell is Damian Lewis going to get? Because he's a pretty effective.
Yeah, fair question. And what's Robert Hunt gonna get? You know, uh-huh. And this reminds me of a note that came out of Jeremy Fowler and Dan Graziano of ESPN, where they're saying, you know, listen, this guard market's running pretty hot right now. Like there's bids, and so these guys, we're talking about Robert Hunt, maybe Damian Lewis, some of them might get like $16 million a year.
Yeah. All right, briefly on the centers, I think Andre James, Lloyd Cushenberry are interesting. You like Aaron Brewer. I think that they're going to wait this. I think they want Connor Williams back. They're going to wait him out. They're going to be one of the richer teams in football come June, meaning mm-hmm. that they could have somewhere around $8 to $10 million just sitting there to hand to somebody. So I think they want to wait Connor Williams out. They also got the draft, you know. It's a good center crop. I don't think that they'll dig in. But if they dig in, you know, Andre James, you, I know your guy is Aaron Brewer. You know, there's some big names in there. Tyler Biadasz is out there. He was on a really good offensive line. I don't know how much credit he gets or playing next to the two best guards, in my opinion. The two best guards in football were on Dallas last year. Okay. Maybe that helps them a little bit. So if they want to sign one, they can. I don't know what your thoughts on this group of centers.
Well, I think up the top, you know, I like Aaron Brewer as a cheaper option for this offense because I think that his mobility fits it. You know, he is probably one of the most athletic, explosive centers out there, period, including, you know, Connor Williams. And so, you know, that fits. But at the same time, is he going to sign for a big contract coming off of how he's played in Tennessee? I'm not sure that's actually going to happen. So, you know, I kind of look at him as a little bit of a value play. If you're going to go straight to the top of the market with Andre James or Lloyd Cushenberry, I wouldn't blame you. First off, you know, Mason Cole is available too, by the way. But I wouldn't blame you for doing that. I think Andre James, is, you know, every bit as good as Connor Williams was for the Dolphins. I think that, you know, looking at him, you really got to look at the game that he had against the Dolphins. You really got to look at the all 22 on that and see him handle snap after snap, two guys who were, who most teams found very hard to handle and Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins. And Andre James was brilliant against them. And he also, I mean, he used to be Josh Rosen's right tackle at UCLA. And then he played left tackle the following year. So he's got tackle feet. And it shows when he's trying to move laterally and trying to get out on those reach blocks. I think he was every bit as good as Connor Williams was, you know, minus some issues that may have developed between Williams and the Dolphins, you know, that we speculate on. No, but there's some conspicuous things. So maybe get Connor Williams without the issues in an Andre James and just go out there and get it done and then not have to worry about it again. I think there's something to be said for that.
All right. And I think we're done with the offense and we're going to go to break now. By the way, the Cowboys, it's like if they're listening to this broadcast, Tyler Smith is moving to left tackle next year. So
yeah,
the guy who I think is the second best guard in football, I guess evidently he's pretty good. He's moving to left tackle next year. All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk defense. They need a lot of help there. But first, these words.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that business homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at wcufl.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
And we're back. Well, Chris, if they lined up to play a game tomorrow, it'll just be Zach Sealer sitting there in the middle. Maybe Brandon Peely comes along. But nobody else. Okay. So it stands to reason they got work to do here. First of all, any hope whatsoever. I understand we're recording this on a Thursday. This is March 7th. Okay. So we could look like complete idiots as I upload this and they sign Christian Wilkins to a 5-year, $130 million contract. But any hope Christian Wilkins comes back?
You know, that's, I'm going to say no.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a no as well. So
I think Simon said it best last time. He's, you know, the guy, sometimes you just have to hand it to him. He refused deals. I'm not going to say whether, I have no idea whether they offered him a fair deal or a not fair deal or what. I just know that he didn't sign it, what they offered him, bet on himself, and it came out in his favor. And sometimes you just have to hand it to a guy for doing it.
And by the way, that was disputed. I said on OnlyFans last year that he was offered a deal in the range of what Dexter Lawrence got. And I got it from a much, much better source. Let's just leave it at that. That I was dead wrong. Yeah. Okay. That he was not offered a deal that was commensurate with what Dexter Lawrence got last year. So
yeah.
Do with that what you wish.
Okay. Well, what do you think he's going to get this year?
I think he will be the third highest paid defensive tackle in football behind Chris Jones and Aaron Donald.
You think, what is that, $25 million or something like
$25 that? $25 million. I think he gets a markup on what Quinnen Williams got.
Yeah. Well, I think, keep in mind, everything's going to be marked up because the NFL salary cap came in 14% higher this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big deal. That's affecting all of these numbers, and you're kidding yourselves. You know, anybody who thinks that it's not is, or downplays it, is just kidding themselves. So yeah.
Yeah. And I he has a lot of friends on the team, including the head coach. I think D'Amico Ryans makes a call to Mike McDaniel. He's going to get a full throated endorsement. I think Houston and Chicago are probably the two likeliest spots for Christian Wilkins, I think.
Yeah, Houston does make some sense. You know, and I think that's something that they're gonna strongly consider.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because that's a direct competitor and likely playoff opponent as everything stands right now.
Sure.
All right, so we don't got guys to play defensive tackle as of right now. Okay, let's talk about our own. Raekwon Davis makes a return.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. And I think that, you know, maybe some people have had issues with him that I haven't necessarily shared, like as far as thinking that he was a bad player. I think that actually in this defense coming up with what Anthony Weaver did, or what Baltimore did while Anthony Weaver was there, you know, he could have a chance to sort of make his good name again in this defense. So I would, if they re-signed him, I think it would make a lot of sense to me, and it would, I'd be optimistic. I'd be looking forward to what he does in this defense. I don't know if that's the direction they're going to go or not, though. I really don't. So there's other guys out there. There's some guys that have already been cut. I think Simon mentioned Brian Moan, and
big zero tech from Seattle.
Yep, I've mentioned before Foley Fadakasi. You know, that's a big one that got cut out of Jacksonville. Save a little bit of money. He's already taking, I think, a free agent visit with the Bills. So, you know, Miami might consider trying to steal him away from the Bills. But I think that those guys are worth consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Miami's going to spend big here or not. I think that if you think about what Baltimore did at the position, they need a four person. They really need a four person rotation. Miami does.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. You know, and that, so I think that, looking at that, they and the way that they played Michael Pierce in particular, and Michael Pierce being a big boy, you know, he's what, like 6'1" and 350 pounds or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think they need somebody like that. I think they need a bigger body like that. And, you know, basically they need to draft T'Vondre Sweat. If they had the choice. And so that's going to be an interesting thing to look at. And when we did our free agent thing, I actually broke out the different players for, you know, kind of a defensive tackle position similar to Christian Wilkins versus, you know, some nose players like what's his name? Why am I already forgetting his name? Our top DJ Reader.
Yeah.
You know, DJ Reader would be a great example of that.
Yeah. And like Greg Gaines as well.
Yeah. Greg Gaines, you know, that I think all of us kind of liked Greg Gaines as that sort of potential player. I mentioned another guy, the former Colorado kid, whose name I'm forgetting now. What was the, you have the list in front of you, don't you?
Tier Tart.
No, among the nose tackles.
Oh, okay. Josh Tupou.
Yeah, Tupou. He's been with the Bengals for a bit, and I think he's a good nose. Mm-hmm. So some of these guys would be interesting to add there, but I'm actually genuinely curious, and I'm going to learn some things by seeing what they're going to do, what they do here.
Yeah.
What they do here is going to teach us some things about their approach, and I think that makes it interesting.
Yeah, and as far as the draft, this is another spot. I mentioned it about wide receiver. I'm almost pigeonholing myself into defensive tackle and wide receiver with those first two picks. Ideally, they probably trade down and have three picks in the top 100, and that way they can get their defensive tackle. I love the defensive tackle crop this year for the draft. And for that, I'm probably shopping around 1-year deals to guys like Daquan Jones. I really like Jonathan Hankins. Okay. And I know I'm talking about two older guys because they're both 32 years old, but I think they were both effective last year. Okay. They both played on really good defenses and they're both relied on plenty. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling those guys, hey, run it back. You know, yeah. It's, you know, there's worse things you could do at 32 years old than collect $6 million from us, you know? And Jonathan Hankins' case, I think it's a lot less. You're talking about, I think Spotrac has his number at $2.2 million, a little bit over the vet minimum. I just run it back with 1-year deals. I'm not looking to fill a hole here for a very long time. I want the draft for that. I really like this group this year.
Well, at 21, I mean, clearly Byron Murphy and Byron Murphy and Johnny Newton would be good players to feed this system at the defensive front. T'Vondre Sweat, I don't think is going to go at 21. I think that, you know, perhaps in a move down situation, perhaps even available at 55 overall. I think that T'Vondre, you know, being 366 pounds, a lot of NFL players, our teams are going to look at him and see a guy who's not going to contribute on third down. And so, you know, just there's the reality of that size. People are going, oh, he's a good pass rusher anyway. No, probably not.
No.
Yeah. But I think on the other hand, Miami runs a system that got really good and has over the years gotten really good play and contributions out of guys that are like that. And so that's a little intriguing to me. And so it makes me wonder, you know, could the Dolphins pick up somebody that, you know, the rest of the league hates because our defense actually will use that kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some potential for, you know, good, I guess, I don't know what to call it there, but synergy or something, but, over what we value and what we do on our defense in this approach versus what the rest of the league is valuing.
Yeah. Most people are like, oh, how are you going to go about, you know, replacing Christian Wilkins? Well, you don't, you're going to need probably three guys to replace Christian Wilkins. You could be a better defense for it, actually, in my opinion.
Well, they need a deeper rotation.
Yes.
That's one of the things that people don't quite realize about moving to Baltimore's approach is we just came from a situation where, you know, I called him Vic Thibodeau. You know, he was mm-hmm. basically Vic Fangio had the Tom Thibodeau approach when it comes to the minutes for these players. Christian Wilkins and Zach Seeler were among the top three, both or something like that, in snaps this year. That's not going to happen under Anthony Weaver. They like in Baltimore a much healthier rotation. So you need more bodies, and Baltimore did keep investing at the defensive line position to make sure that they had bodies. But they also do the same thing at the edge position. Even if Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips were 100% healthy and going to start the year 100% healthy, Miami would absolutely need a third guy, and because that's how they rotated that position in Baltimore year after year. They collected those. There was one year I can remember they had like three drafted guys that were all drafted fairly high, and then plus they also signed, or they had not Perry and Winfrey, a guy whose name I'm forgetting from who used to play at Chicago, his name begins with a P. But they had two extra veterans that way. And it's just like you look at the position and you're like, you can't play all those guys. It's stacked. Mm-hmm. It's stacked. Well, that's what Baltimore liked to do with the edge position, because they like to rotate all of those guys. And so, you know, we really have to pay attention to that and think, God damn, they need a lot more bodies for defensive line and edge. They do. Mm-hmm. If they're gonna take that same approach, which I think they will.
Yeah. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this guy. He's and I kind of overlooked the man. Quentin Jefferson is out in the market. He is 31 years old. He fits that motif of the kind of guy that I want mm-hmm. on a 1-year deal. Quentin Jefferson, you know, mean, nasty guy, heavy-handed, you know, strong, can play a couple
absolutely
of positions
hates
inside.
Liam Eichenberg for some reason. I have no idea
he why. He does. And it's in there on all 22. He looked up Liam Eichenberg in that second game. He looked them up to try to blindside him. And
oh, man, he did it like three times.
Yeah. And not only that, one of the times I think he bypassed making the tackle on Raheem Mostert.
You know,
he's like, OK, the running back's running past me. Who cares? I'm killing this guy.
Would not surprise me. The guy, I don't know what it is. I really don't. But you look at it on the tape, and it's like it stands out. Like this, he hates him some Liam Eichenberg. Let me tell you.
And by the way, we love Omar Kelly on this program, but just for the sheer comedy, bring back Jordan Phillips.
Oh yeah, there you go. And get some and get a little bit of
a little violence in the
controversy,
locker room.
A little bit of violence.
You agree with me, right? We're not making an investment. We're looking for stop gaps, and we're going to the draft to get the guys that are going to be here in 2025, 2026 and beyond. Right. We agree.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be kind of an all hands approach, to be honest. I think it's going to be everything, because like I said, they need so many bodies. And the guys that I was thinking of, by the way, Pernell McPhee was the guy I was trying to think of that Baltimore had. Baltimore had Pernell McPhee at the same time as they had Matt Judon. They had drafted Tyus Bowser. They had Jalen Ferguson. And then they added Yannick Ngakoue. You know, like so Tyus Bowser was a fairly high draft pick. Jalen Ferguson was a very promising player at that time who had done some things. And so I mean, if you look at Baltimore's approach, they got bodies, man. They got bodies. And I think that's important to note for Miami, because Miami's going to need bodies.
All right, moving on to the edge players. I don't think we're going to, you know, spend too much time here, because Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are pretty good, and they should return at some point next year. Jalen Phillips is promising he'll be there week one. We don't know about Bradley Chubb. He hasn't spoken to the media. But we need somebody. First of all, we need to bring back Andrew Van Ginkle. I don't think there's any question there.
Okay? Well, is it? I don't know.
I think he's the best. I think he's the best available past the big expensive guys. He's the best second tier.
I love him, but does he have a market? You know.
So you wait him out.
If he's got a hot market, there's not much you can do about it.
No, not much you can do
if you got Bradley Chubb.
Eagles throw him 4 years, $40 million. We're screwed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly what I'm talking about. Like if we're talking about Bradley Chubb already being here, Jalen Phillips about to get an extension, and then AVG is out there on the market and he's getting $10 million, or even $12 million a year offers. What are we going to do about that? There's not much we can do about that.
No, we can't.
You know, and so that's why I question it. Like, can we bring that guy back? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. What I do know is that, you know, there are some guys available that, you know, kind of like at the end of the year when they had zero edges, right? And they had to go signing everybody that was on the 2017, you know, all names list.
Yes.
And so
that defense in 2017 was star laden at the end of the season.
I sort of makes me wonder though if they do something similar, because I'll look out there. You know, there's some older players out there who might be able to contribute. There's, you know, a Bud Dupree out there. There's I brought up two guys in my list what were the guys I brought up?
Brandon
Graham already got signed back by Philly. He's just kind of like a Philly lifer at this point, and that's unfortunate because man still knows how to rush the passer.
Yeah, you have Jerry Hughes on your list.
Jerry Hughes was the other
one. You got Za'Darius Smith as a more expensive option, although I don't think he's going to be too expensive. He's 31 years old. Like, you know, how much money are we getting?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It might not be too expensive at all.
You know, and you got Zach Bond, Travis Gibson, and you got to keep, like, let's try for the fourth time. Jadeveon Clowney is obviously a name that they're looking at, right?
Well, sure, but he's going to, you know, he will always try and command some money. Obviously he was a good player for Baltimore last year.
Yes.
I don't know. He tends to burn bridges where he goes and wherever he goes. And I wouldn't be surprised if, even though he played well for the Baltimore last year.
Yeah. And if we're, and just to be clear here, so to give our listeners a little background, this guy was approached. Jadeveon Clowney was approached by Chris Greer and company in Flo's first year here to be brought in a trade. And he told us, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Miami. He didn't want to come here. So,
yeah. So I got to be honest, you know, that way that does have me wondering if, like, hey, just because he had experience with the coaches, with coaches that we brought over from Baltimore, doesn't mean that's a good thing.
No.
You know, because I know for a fact, for example, if Chris Kiffin had been hired, and he was one of the interviewers for the defensive coordinator position, if he had been hired for defensive coordinator, there is no way in hell that he would allow Jadeveon Clowney to be brought to Miami to fill that spot. So, you know, there's puts and takes there. Jerry Hughes was, I brought him up. He's the kind of veteran that's like, he knows how to rush the passer, and that's what you need on some of these downs. Yeah. Right. What you don't need right now is to pay the premium. Every player will have a premium or a discount according to their age and their upside and the perception of their upside, right? Mm-hmm. So if you sign, you know, you've mentioned before Josh Uche. He's what, 25 years old, 26 years old, something like that?
He's 26 years old, and that's who I have on my list. I would absolutely love to bring him in.
Josh Uche is going to get in his contract a certain amount. I'm not sure exactly the amount, but a certain amount of his contract will represent his upside, right? His upside potential. He's a 26-year-old player, pretty good pass rusher. He might be even better and get even better and even better, right? A certain amount of these contracts is going to be either a premium for upside or discount because of lack of upside. I don't think Miami needs the upside. right now. Mm-hmm. They have Jalen Phillips, and they haven't. I doubt they're giving up on Bradley Chubb. You know, so what they need is just somebody who can come in and play. So to me, I'm not necessarily even looking at those young players that are going to have an upside premium, because what do we need with that? We don't need that. What we need is somebody who comes right in and plays. And to me, that's where I think that a guy like Jerry Hughes just comes right in and plays. But, you know, maybe they disagree with me.
All right, moving on to linebackers. You agree, right? I think Josh Uche will be I think he'd be an investment. And
yeah, that's an investment.
Not that I'm going to call it, but I'm thinking something like 3 years, $24 million probably gets it done. That's right on the number that Spotrac has him at $8 million APY. By the way, do you get Josh Uche for that money, or you keep AVG for that money?
Oh, you know, I like the message it sends with AVG better than I do with the outside guy. So I think that, you know, this is a homegrown, done everything right. People in the locker room love the guy. And here he had his breakout because of some injuries, and reward the man, you know. Yeah.
And you bet your ass, his wife doesn't want to leave Miami. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
They have a small baby. You know what I mean? You think she wants to start picking up and moving to Philadelphia or whatever?
So that's the only player that I'd be willing to give that kind of money to. Otherwise, I don't think that we need to pay for the upside.
All right. Moving on to linebacker. They need one. Jerome Baker is no longer here. Although, you know, that's the one that I do believe Chris Greer when he says that, you know, the key's under the mat.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe it on Xavier Howard. As soon as he was gone, I was like, okay, he's a Cowboy. He's a Cowboy for 2 years, $20 million. He's the new Stephon Gilmore. Okay. So I expect him to be a Dallas Cowboy, or maybe even he goes back home to Houston. Although the defense, you know, he was talking about, he wants to go somewhere where he's a better fit. That's the Dallas Cowboys, you know, Zimmer's defense. He's going to play a lot of man. He's perfect there. So it's a big, you know, it's a big, big market, you know, well-known team. He's going to get a lot of eyeballs on him. He signs the Stephon Gilmore deal there. But I did believe Chris Greer when he said he left the key under the mat for Jerome Baker. I think they tried to get him to take a pay cut, and Jerome Baker said no. Chris Greer's banking, I guess, on a soft market for Jerome Baker, and maybe he does return. But if he doesn't, man, I'm advocating taking that money that you were going to pay Jerome Baker this coming season and shopping it for Azeez Al-Shaair and Drew Tranquil. And those two guys with David Long, I'm ecstatic with my linebacking core, and it gives me a lot of versatility, especially on third downs. And I think it's an upgrade, simply put. So what say you? Am I warm here?
Hard to say, because I, you know, there's a report out there from Diana Rossini that GMs out there are lowballing the running backs again, the safeties again, and by the way, it's a flooded safety market.
Yes.
You know, the running backs and the safeties, but also the linebackers. Like, they are lowballing the linebackers, and they're in the midst of the same devaluation that you're seeing with the running back units, tight end units, and so on and so forth. And so that makes me wonder if Patrick Queen is within striking distance financially for the Miami Dolphins. I think that, you know, you don't want to overthink things. This is a guy who was a really good player in Baltimore's system. You just brought in Baltimore's system. Okay. And then you dismissed Jerome Baker because he wouldn't take a pay cut. Okay, well, you know, guess who can come right in, who already said he wants to follow Anthony Weaver, publicly, I believe, said that. You know, bring him right in. You know, but I think what's scaring people away is Spotrac says, oh, he's going to make $18.5 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, what if he's not? You know, I mean, what if that's way off the mark? And that's what I have to start wondering here. So I don't know. I don't know that. Go to all the free agents and look at their current, like, sort it by the current APY, you know, what they are making already. And you know who the most expensive linebacker available is by a long shot? Jerome Baker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody else, Devin White was making a little over $7 million a year. Eric Kendricks was making $6.6 million a year. Josie Jewell was making $5.5 million. Bobby Wagner was making, you know, Bobby Wagner, you know, he was not making money. So is Patrick Queen really going to make that much money? I don't know. And if he's not, then what could be more of a no-brainer than bringing him in to replace Jerome Baker and install this system? I just don't want to overthink that.
So you don't like my 2-for-1 strength in numbers approach?
I don't know that 2-for-1 works when you're selling it to the players themselves.
Mm.
You know, especially since you already have a one and David Long, somebody, one of those two that you're acquiring knows that he's not going to play, because, you know, every defense nowadays is basically a two linebacker defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could be a harder sell than you might be thinking. So yeah, I do believe Key is under the mat for Jerome Baker. That's true. But there's a lot of guys out there that would be interesting to look at. You did mention you have a good couple of players. There's nothing wrong with those players. There's also guys like Josie Jewell or like Blake Cashman, is a real favorite of mine from the Houston Texans.
Frankie Louvu, who Simon has on his list.
It's Frankie Louvu. What about Willie Gay Jr.? You know,
yeah. I think he should be pretty pricey in the $8 million range.
Should be, but again, do we know? Do we know what
price he's 26? Somebody has to be looking at him as, you know, I could sign this guy for the next 4 years, and I got my scrape linebacker set. You know,
well, but how much the price tag? Right. That's what we don't know. And the whispers out there kind of suggest that this is not what some people are thinking it is, as far as the money is concerned. And that's what has me interested. I think the Dolphins could end up with a good player here.
Yeah. And it's absolutely loaded, really. The linebacking group, man. Do you know that Kenneth Murray is only 26 years old?
Yeah, but he also played like shit with the Chargers. So
yeah, like, I'm still remembering him from Oklahoma, right? That's where
he was. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They're fast. But, you know?
Yeah, but I think that he didn't play necessarily all that well. So
you're looking for a long-term fix here. All right. Right.
I think that, you know, just depends on the money. But if the money is what I think it is, or what I keep hearing it is, then it might not be out of the realm of possibility at all.
All right. And I think we could finish up here with the defensive backfield. I think they're going to need a safety. They're going to need a corner. Okay. Now, whether they get that corner to be a slot guy, that makes some sense. Is he going to be a safety? I think they're going to need one if they want to play the defenses that they played in Baltimore last year. Mm. You can take your pick. Okay. We were talking about ages. Did you know that Justin Simmons is 30 years old? I'm thinking he's not going to be all that expensive. So maybe it's not a pipe dream for Justin Simmons. If not, man, I love Eddie Jackson. And I like John Johnson III as well. So these are, I think, cheaper options than Justin Simmons would be. But you can throw a rock, and I think you're going to hit on a guy that's going to be effective in this system, in this group of safety. As far as cornerback, I think we like the same guys. But Sean Murphy Bunting is a guy that I look at and I really like. Mm-hmm. And I like Rockison. I don't think that they're going to supplant Kader Kohu, although if it were me, I would pressure him. And the good news is that you could pressure him with Jalen Ramsey, because I don't think it's a bad idea to have Jalen Ramsey play in the slot on third down all the time. I don't think it's a bad idea, especially in this kind of system. So your thoughts in the defensive backfield?
I think at safety, it's so flooded right now that that you're going to get a good deal probably. I had been wondering about Geno Stone. I thought that he might get a premium on the market because of how many interceptions he had last year for the Baltimore Ravens. now with this flooded market, you got Justin Simmons out there, you got Kevin Byard out there, you got Xavier McKinney out there, you got some names out there.
Chauncey Gardner Johnson is a sexy name, yeah. And he's 26 years old, although his reputation is major league asshole. Okay.
And I think that the Eagles are even thinking about bringing him back.
Like, so yeah, the Eagles got rid of him because he was a major league asshole, and they saw last season there. You're like, you know what? Maybe we need him back.
We'll take the asshole, you know, because at least he plays well. But yeah, I think Kevin Byard is out there. I think that you know, Jordan Poyer just got put out there. You know, there's just enough names out there that.
And if they go after Kenny Moore and Jordan Lewis, don't buy a house.
Yeah, I think that with safety, you could see Geno Stone if the market's been devalued. I think Deshaun Elliott bringing him back is very obvious.
Oh, that's day one. That's day one. You got to do that.
But the thing to keep in mind is that Baltimore played three safety defense on 30% of their downs.
Mm-hmm.
It is a staple of their defense. I think they had a total of nearly 3,000 snaps for their safeties unit, which is a lot to dish out, and it's a lot more than Miami did. And so you keep in mind that between injuries and the fact that you're using three safety defense so much, Miami needs three players here, not two. So you signed Deshaun Elliott back and you already have Javon Holland. You are not done. You are not done. So, so you're going to have to get Deshaun Elliott back, for example, and then still sign somebody, you know, whether it be a Geno Stone or whatever. I like Aloe Gilman too, but I don't know if he would be up for moving out here. But yeah, so we'll see on that. I think it's going to be a good value, but just keep in mind that it's going to be three guys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One last thing, and I think we could get out of here. You know how you know Chris Greer is this time of the year. He's bargain basement. You know, he's hunting. You know what I mean? He's looking in the bargain bin, and sometimes that bargain bin has guys with like broken bones and torn ligaments. And he's like, you know, this guy was a really good player when he was upright, you know, now he's on a wheelchair. Maybe I could get him on a deal. There's a guy who's been injury prone, although he played a lot of games this past year, but he's found injuries. This is an elite player. Cincinnati is not bringing him back. Chidobe Awuzie is an absolute stud. He's 29. If you could get him on a deal, you're going to get the rest of his prime. Man, if you could do that for $10 million, you do it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do believe that that is a possibility. And I would emphasize for people that Miami knows that they have a difficult offseason to navigate and not a lot of money, a lot of needs. So they're going to have to blanket cover a lot of different needs. They're going to have to make bets. You know, these bets are going to have to be along the lines of things that we saw last year with Isaiah Wynn, David Long, you know, guys that had injury histories that have to take shorter term deals. You know, that's a gamble when you do it. And Miami knows it, but that's the position that they're in, and they're in the position of having to hope that enough of those gambles pay off. And so I think that could easily happen at the corner position. I think you named a pretty good example of that. I do like Sean Murphy Bunting, you know, as a player, because keep in mind that versatility requires more versatility. So they're promising, they're outright promising that Jalen Ramsey is going to be moved around, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how do you move around a guy if other people can't be moved around?
Right.
It doesn't work. So what I keep telling people about, you know, who to look for is look for guys that show that inside out versatility, because there's going to have to be, you know, Kader Kohou might be that, because he did play outside and it didn't always go well, but you know, he was also a second year player out of Texas A&M Commerce. So, you know, the inside outside versatility that he showed would be compatible with Jalen Ramsey. If you want to move Jalen Ramsey to the inside opportunistically to follow around some of the best receivers in the league and shut them down. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something, if you want to do that, then you need guys who can line, who can move from the inside to the outside, because you know what? Jalen Ramsey just pushed you aside.
Mm-hmm.
Said, no, I got this guy.
Yeah. And last year it wasn't a thing. It wasn't even a trend. It was just a matter of fact. Teams were putting their best receiver in the slot and they were attacking us that way.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And you wanted him away from Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that's something. If keep in mind, if we're going to move Javon Holland all around, like he's Kyle Hamilton, if we're going to move Jalen Ramsey from the outside to the inside, to keep tabs on the best players, on the best receivers, and keep them locked down, the more these guys are going to move around, the more you're going to need guys around them that are comfortable moving around too. That's just a fact. So that's the kind of player that I would look at.
All right. And I think we can leave it right here on Monday. That's going to be a lot of fun on Monday. It's odd how the NFL has a more entertaining free agency period than the NBA, when it used to be the opposite a few years ago. But Dolphins are going to add a lot of players here. We will talk to you again when maybe they have some of these players in the fold. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.